we get things underway by welcoming to the program an actress, dancer, singer, songwriter, Academy Award nominee. You know her for roles in films like One-on-One, Superman 3, 48 Hours, television work from Nash Bridges and Smallville to the wonderful new Netflix series Virgin River. We're thrilled to be joined by Annette O'Toole. Annette, thank you so much for being with us.
I'm very happy to be with you, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Now, we had your husband, Michael, on last summer, and I'm glad that he was not so scarred by the experience that he talked you out of it.
Not at all, because I just said to him, I'm going to go talk to Rich Kimmel. He said, I spoke to him not long ago. So he remembers it very well, and he was not scarred at all.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You've got so much going on. I want to talk first about Virgin River. We had Tim Matheson on a couple of months ago, and what a terrific show this is, and what a tremendous ensemble they put together.
They did. It's a wonderful group of people, and we have a great crew. We shoot up in Vancouver, and I've been in Vancouver a lot. We shot Smallville up there, too, and I've done some TV movies, and I did the miniseries It up there. That was my first experience in Vancouver, so I know it well. I know how to kill time in Vancouver on my days off. And it's a really fun show. It's nice to be on something that I go out now to the grocery store and everybody kind of embraces me. We love the show. We love that we can watch it with our families. And it's just such a nice respite from things that are going on in the world that are hard to deal with. So I think everybody at this point would like to go to Virgin River and live there and be calm and quiet and peaceful. So, but it's a calm and quiet and peaceful set, I have to say. We all like each other very much, and I think it shows in the work. Although I've only seen 3 episodes, it's hard for me to watch myself. So I'm taking other people's word for it. That as long as it speaks to people, that's all I care about.
Well, I can assure you it does. And you and Tim have such great chemistry together.
Thank you. We're really good buddies. I've known Tim, 40 years, something like that. We first did, we worked together on a TV show, a TV series. It was an anthology series called Whatever Happened to the Class of 65.
Mm.
It was based on a book that Michael Medved, I think, co-wrote.
Yes.
In fact, I know he did. And so every week they would tell the story of another person from the class of 65 who had gone on to you know, awful things or good things or whatever, sort of like the millionaire maybe from all those years ago. So that was the first time Tim and I worked together, and I had known him before that because he had done a movie with my then boyfriend, Bruno Kirby. And then we worked together again right after I had my first daughter. We did a show together that was sort of a televised play called The Best Legs in the Eighth Grade. And then we went our separate ways for a long time. So this is our third and hopefully continued collaboration. He's an awesome actor, but to work with him as a director, too, has been really a treat because I didn't know him as a director. And it's really fun to work with him because he acts and directs at the same time. And I'd never had that experience before, being directed by the other actor in the scene. And it's really fun because he directs from the inside. So you just kind of, it's like dancing. You know, I just follow along and he kind of sets the pace and he's a great partner. We have a good time.
And you've already filmed season 2, right?
We have. We just finished right before Christmas. And it was nice because last year we did get some time off for in the first season for Christmas. But it's cold up in Vancouver and can get rainy and, you know, you're away from home and you just want to be home for the holidays. So this year they made sure we were all home in time to celebrate. So that was nice.
We're talking with Annette O'Toole here on Downtown. Very excited that you'll be also playing the character of Louise in season 2 of Jim Carrey's terrific Showtime series, Kidding. I love that series. It's so dark and at times uncomfortable, but so ultimately human. Can you tell us a little bit about your character?
They haven't told me what I'm supposed. I'm so worried about Virgin River. They keep saying things I can and can't say about it. So it's made me paranoid about everything else I've done. I don't know what I'm allowed to say about it, except that I have had a lifelong crush on Frank Langella. And so I got to do most of my scenes with Frank. I do work with Jim as well, but Frank was an absolute delight. Everything I'd hoped he would be, he was, and more. He's just so much fun to work with. He's so conscientious. I mean, he just, he works so hard at what he does. He really wants, and that's why it looks effortless when he does it. He prepares so beautifully. And we just had a wonderful time. We did a lot of really big scenes together, and some were very poignant, some were very funny. My part spread out over, I think, 3 episodes. And also, it was shot right near my house in L.A. I haven't worked at home in such a long time. It was delightful. I could almost have walked there to Sony Pictures. And then we shot one night on location right around the corner from my house. And so we finished like at 2 in the morning. And I was going to walk home, and Michael said, "You're not walking home. I don't care what how safe our neighborhood is. I'm coming at you." So we sat outside. It was like my stage door, Johnny. He sat outside the location house where we were shooting and waited for me. And he just picked me up and zoomed me home, and that was it. It was really nice. And Jim was fantastic. And also, I didn't really get to work with her, but Catherine Keener.
Oh man,
one
she's
of the
great.
Nicest people. I don't know if you've interviewed her.
No, we haven't, but I'd love to.
You should. She is the sweetest, kindest. I got on the set, and you know, they've been doing this show now for a year, and now they're way into their second season. I walk on, and, you know, she just came to my dressing room. She hugged me. She said, "I've always loved your work. Welcome." And it was so wonderful, because as many times as you do this, you know, you walk into a new situation with new people, it's not all that much easier. You know, you just feel like, oh, God, I'm the new kid. And she couldn't have been sweeter. We have kind of a scene together where she's kind of in, you know, she's over there on the side, and, you know, but we don't really interact. So I'm hoping for the day when that can happen. She's an awesome person.
You also found the time to do an episode of The Good Doctor with friend of our show, Richard Schiff, that airs tonight.
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, I worked with Richard before in a... an independent film we did about 5 or 6 years ago. It was longer than that. It was 2012. So, it was really fun to work with him again, and it all worked out in kind of a crazy way. The Good Doctor is my mother's favorite show. She loves The Good Doctor, and since it debuted, she said, "If you could get on that show, that would be the most wonderful thing that happened." So I kind of put the bug in the ear of my agent. I said, "Please, you know, if there's any, I would do anything. I'd do a walk-on. I'd be an extra. If you could just..." And I didn't know where the series shot. So I get up to Vancouver while we're doing Virgin River, and somebody said, "Oh, over there, that's where the Good Doctor shoots." I said, "The Good Doctor shoots up here?" I said, "Oh, my God." So I went back. On Virgin River, we have a wonderful... supervising producer from Netflix named Jocelyn Freed. And I just mentioned this to her. She said, "I know one of the producers. I know all these people over there. So I'm going to make this happen." Because right before that, my mother fell and broke her hip. So she was recuperating. I'm flying back and forth. And so I really wanted it to happen to make her feel better, to kind of get her through her recovery. So it all came together. It was like magic, the way these people worked it all out, the ADs on each show, because we were working like in the same city at the same time. And it's the first time I've ever done that, where I've gone from one set to another at the same time. So there seems like they've been showing a trailer where I faint in the beginning. I meet my daughter, played by Fiona Gubelman, who plays Morgan Resnick, and we're meeting and embracing, and then I faint because I've got this thing that you'll find out about tonight if you watch it. And so I did that scene, and then ran over to Virgin River and did a scene. And it was really fun. It was like acting summer camp, you know. It's just like, how much can you do? How much exercise can you get? So that was fun. And everyone there was fantastic. I've been so lucky to work with so many wonderful people, and especially this last year has been like heaven for me.
I loved your work, too, and what I think is one of the best series of the last decade, Halt and Catch Fire. And I just wonder, from your perspective, this golden age, new golden age of television, the availability for great roles seems to be there now much more than it is in film.
Absolutely. The writing on these shows is incredible. We've been watching some lately that we're just staggered by the quality and the acting, and it's really wonderful. And you know, actors my age, and or actresses especially my age, have much more work there. You know, there's much more need for us, because, you know, in film it's going to be Meryl or, you know, Jeff Lang or Sally Field or the you know, Annette Bening or the A people. And What's nice here is that they just want the right actor for the part. And you can get called, like I did for Kidding. They just called me up. I suddenly got a job on Kidding, and I hadn't even known about their, you know, that it was happening. So it was really wonderful and out of the blue. And I feel so lucky to get to be still doing the thing I wanted to do since I was 9 years old.
We're talking with Annette O'Toole, and Stephen King owns our radio station, so I have to ask you about your work in the King universe. You did 11/22/63, and of course, the miniseries It back in the day with a pretty talented group of guys you got to work with.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. Talk about summer camp. I was the only girl, you know, and all these boys, and they were all so funny and so sweet, and even Tim Curry, you know, he was like one of us, too. When he wasn't in the other trailer getting his makeup put on, he was just one of the group, and we had a wonderful time together. It was really, really fun. We all had our kids up there, and we shot during the spring and summer, and it was just a blast. And it wasn't scary when we were doing it because it just wasn't. We knew it was supposed to be, and then you see it, and it's like, oh my God, this is really creepy. And I couldn't let my kids see it, even though they were in some of the scenes. Like when they're throwing popcorn at the movies, they're in that. I have nothing but very happy memories of that time. And then 11/22/63 came out of the blue, and I was very excited about it. I hadn't read the book. I ran out and got it, and I realized that my character is really not in the book. She's sort of just a name of this woman who owns a boarding house or something. So I didn't have to do a lot of preparation. I could just kind of come up with something on my own, and I did, and it was fun. I still have not met Mr. King. I've never met Stephen King, and I would love to. He's certainly an idol of mine. And you know, we got to leave some things for the future, I guess.
I know you were very close, and your families were very close, you and Richard Thomas, and also one of my favorite actors. And we had Peter Bogdanovich on a while ago, and he was raving about how much he loved the work of John Ritter.
Oh, yeah. John was something really special. John and I also worked together 3 times. We did, before It, we did a movie called The Dreamer of Oz, a TV movie about L. Frank Baum, which is a wonderful movie. It's a really nice family film if people are looking for something like that. And I play his wife, Maude Baum. And I'd known him before. We kind of, you know, knew some of the same people. I'd see him around and stuff, but we'd never worked together until Dreamer of Oz. And then I was looping The Dreamer of Oz with him, and I said, what are you going to do next? And he said, oh, I'm going to do this Stephen King miniseries called It. I said, It? Oh, my God, it's one of my favorite books. And I said, who's going to play Beverly? And he just kind of looked at me. He said, they haven't cast Beverly yet. I said, really? So I don't even know if I said anything to my agent, but I think he must have said something. And it just was magical, you know, that all worked out. And then we did, after that, we did Love Letters together. They were doing it at the Beverly Cannon Theater here, which I don't even think exists anymore in Beverly Hills. But it was, every week they would have a different cast of 2 people reading love letters.
Oh, the A.R. Gurney piece?
Yes. And so you never knew who was going to be there. Well, they would advertise it the week before. But I went and did that with him, and that was really fun, too. And then our kids went to school together out here in L.A. So I would see him we'd have these school big events, fundraisers and things, and we'd all perform and do silly sketches and songs and snappy pattern. So I would see him then. And his death hit me very, very hard. It was really horrible. I've seen his son since, who played our son in The Dreamer of Oz, Jason. So and Richard Thomas, you know, he and his girls and his other kids, you know, we've all been close throughout the years. I see him all the time. He was in a play with my husband a couple of years ago. He was in The Little Foxes. In fact, right. Richard was nominated for a Tony for that. That's one of the nice things about what I do. You know, you never really say goodbye to people you love. You just see them eventually down the road, you know, or you pass them at an event. And it's very nice. I have a lot of really
wonderful friends who I stay in contact with all the time.
I have to ask you about the songwriting. Michael told us a little bit of the story, but can you share what happened when the song that became Potatoes in the Paddy Wagon came to you?
Right. Well, it was right after 9/11. It did not have a happy beginning. There were no planes. I was doing Smallville. There were no planes from Vancouver to Los Angeles. I mean, this was the next day. This was, well, maybe not the next day, maybe the 13th. So I drove back from Vancouver back home because I just wanted to be home and I wasn't needed for a few days on the show. So I rented a car and drove back. And it took me a day and a half, I guess. And so I got back, and the second I got back, they called and said, oh, we've changed the schedule. We need you. So I had to drive back. I had to get, literally that night, get in the car and go back. So Michael said, well, I'm going with you. So somewhere between Portland and Seattle, I started having this weird little melody in my head. And I said, what is this melody? I can't get it out of my head. Is this? Am I making this up, or is it something I heard a long time ago? So I hummed it for him. And he said, you're making that up. I've never heard that before. So we started putting kind of nonsense words to it to just remember it, because at that point we didn't have, this is, you know, 2001, we didn't have cell phones that you could record into. So just to remember it, we said, potatoes in the paddy wagon, blah, blah, blah. So from there I said, I love that. We got to keep potatoes in the paddy wagon, but potato has to be a girl. That has to be her name. So we just we wrote most of it in the car, and then by the time we got to Vancouver, we finished it up, and we came back and sang it for Chris Guest, who was putting together all the music for A Mighty Wind, his film about folk music. And he really liked it, and he said, yeah, that's a great song for the new Main Street Singers. He said to Michael later, would you write this signature song? Michael. And all the only thing it has to have is a kiss in it. It has to have, it has to end with a kiss. So Michael came home and said, "Do you want to write this song with me?" I said, "Yeah." So we sat down at the piano and wrote the song in about an hour. So that's how, and that was the song that kind of became the. There were many wonderful songs in the movie, and everybody contributed to that, Chris and Eugene and many, Harry Shearer and many people. I think Harry went on that. And then that Kiss was nominated. So that was lovely. It was really fun.
And in one of the funniest films of all time, it also created this beautiful, poignant moment.
Yeah. The nice thing about the song is it was really used in the film as a character. It was so important. You know, that was the Mitch and Mickey's theme song, and it was all about will they kiss at the end, because they've had this rift in their relationship. They've broken up, and now they're together, and they're not together personally, but will they kiss? It's a big deal. And they talk about it the whole time. And so, yeah, it was nice to write a song that was meaningful in that way to the story and not just a song over the end credits.
Mm. All right, before we let you go, I have to ask you, what are you knitting these days?
Oh, my God, I've got three projects going. I did all my Christmas knitting. So my girls, who both have birthdays in December, so not only Christmas, but two birthdays, and I make them each something for a birthday and for Christmas. So I had like four projects going on. So I just got all that finished. Each one got a sweater and socks. So I just finished making a couple of hats, because I have a lot of leftover yarn, and I like to use it to make hats, and I donate them to whoever needs them and give them as presents. And I just finished a couple of neck scarves. Now it's accessory time. January's accessory month. So that's what I'm doing. Thanks for asking, because knitting really is my co-pilot.
Check out Virgin River on Netflix with Annette O'Toole, Tim Matheson, season 2 of Kidding coming soon to Showtime, and tonight on The Good Doctor. Annette, I've been a fan of your work for so many years. It's great to talk with you this afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rich. I enjoyed it so much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Annette O'Toole with us here on Downtown.